The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, J.C. Carter from the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hello.
And we've got Taylor Stapleton.
Hello.
Scooter Rally extraordinaire.
I'm trying.
You are. It's fun to do new stuff, especially when you're a little older. It's fun to find new things to keep yourself motivated.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I do. I like it for you. It sounds like you're having a lot of fun.
I am. It's a good time, good groups.
It is. It really does. It reminds me of the mods from the 80s.
That's kind of what people go for. And the people that wear those clothes, it's interesting.
Do they wear the hats? They wear the little pork pie hats?
I've shown you pictures. They're like in nice suits and everything, just chilling.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what they dress us.
That's fair. So, yeah. I've done something twice this week I have never done before.
Okay.
Watching women's basketball. I've watched a little basketball from time to time in my life, usually on accident. Not a big basketball fan, but these women in the NCAA tournament are just fucking owning this game. And so Tiffany turned on the Iowa versus somebody else, UConn, a couple nights ago. And I sat down at the half and watched two quarters, give or take. And was just like, huh, that didn't bore the shit out of me. You know, I've got some buy-in for this for some reason. I don't know why. And so today, Iowa is playing South Carolina, and it started about an hour ago, and I was watching that in between shows up until I came over here to get on here, and it is, I mean, of course it's Caitlin Clark. Of course she's exciting, you know, but watching her team and the other team and all of them and just how fucking hard they're working, it's really exciting, and one of the things that I said to Tiffany about it was, it's like, you know, Caitlin Clark could very well do for the WNBA what Megan Rapinoe and the gang did for women's soccer in the United States, mm-hmm. you know, because it's huge. I would much rather watch a women's soccer game in American professional soccer than I would a dude's game. You know, I don't have a drive to go watch Real Salt Lake. I don't. I mean, if I had tickets, I'd go and I'd have a good time. I know that. But the Monarchs, fuck, I want to go to those fucking games. You know, yep. I want to go and see them yeah. play. So, I mean, I hate watching most sports. And if it can get through my anti-sportsy nonsense, you know, I mean, it's just, oh, it's fun. And what's concerning is watching the trolls online, you know, go after these very talented women that I don't like.
Incels. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like somebody photoshopped an Adam's apple onto Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, that's suspicious. Mm-hmm. It's like, go fuck yourself, douchebag. But yeah, no, I'm finding sports in my old age. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm noticing.
Isn't it weird?
No. Do you?
You've known me for a decade, and I've talked about sports for 10 minutes, and I won't shut the fuck up about them. It's weird. But at least it's progressive sports watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What have you guys been up to? What's going on? I know we just recorded a show last week, but it feels like ages since I've talked to anybody.
I know.
Hmm. Easter, spring break.
Easter. We did nothing for Easter. Not a thing.
We
didn't cook fancy
family
foods,
over
nothing.
For Easter, and that was fun.
You got to eat in a tent. That's always fun.
Yeah, we ate in a tent. My brothers-in-law were there, and that was fun. And we, you know, put up with my mother-in-law, and yeah, had a great time.
Have I expressed to you how much I adore the power couple that is your brothers-in-law?
Oh, they're awesome, aren't they?
They are awesome. They're just
the Michaels.
Yep. I like hanging out with them. I like spending time with them. I like following them on fucking Facebook because they just take the most adorable pictures together. You know, I like that they dress up like one another. I really do. When they're both in the same shorts and t-shirts and stuff like that, when they're out visiting things, I'm just like, your life looks awesome, guys. Keep it up.
It's all kinds of fun for the two of them.
Yeah. I don't know that, you know, as strong as my relationship is right now, I don't know that I'm let's wear the same shirt level. I don't know where that is. Is that a new thing?
It depends on what shirt it is if we're going to wear the same shirt. Yeah.
Grayson and I used to. He would let me wear that or I'd make them and he'd wear them with me because he's nice.
So it is a nice thing? I'll do that. Huh? I'll do that. Mm-hmm. You bet. I can be nice.
Yep. They came over yesterday for Tartan Day and had a drink with me and we had some pie and, you know, haggis pie.
Oh, I'd love some fucking pie. Oh, and, a little pie right now. Oh, my God.
Little round haggis pies.
Where do you get those? Pies. I want those.
There's a Scottish gourmet thing that Michelle found online, and they'll send them to you frozen.
Oh, my God. Because I did. You know me. I'm an Anglophile from way back. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love the most is crumpets. It's like somebody took an English muffin and made it better.
Better.
And the problem is that they need to be refrigerated. Mm-hmm. And I found them on Amazon, and they sent them in just a plastic bag. It's just a Mylar bag. And I don't know how many days these things were on the road. I think it was like 3 days it took them to get to me. And I'm like, oh, those haven't been refrigerated at all. I should extra toast them. I was fine, but still. It is. I don't know.
Your teeth got through that all right, I guess.
Yeah, dude, I like what I like.
They dry out pretty fast. It was fun. It was, Michelle made lots of food. She made some scotch eggs. She made some other stuff, and yeah.
Scottish Gourmet USA. Found it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll just tuck that aside for later. Well, let's do a little news. I'm oversharing today because the news is all pretty quick on today's show. But I believe we talked about this about 3 weeks ago, that there was a transgender employee at space camp and parents freaked the fuck out. Just a couple of them. They did, but the U.S. Space and Rocket Center said Friday that a recently concluded investigation sparked by a parent's social media post complaining about the presence of a transgender employee found, quote, no evidence of inappropriate behavior or malfeasance between any space camp staff and student campers. This is just a parent being a snowflake just to be a fucking snowflake. The employee in question, however, has been transferred to another job at the center. Other policy violations.
Let's just move you out of the public eye. That's what we want to do.
Which is fucked, NASA.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What was the movie? Hidden Geniuses?
Hidden Figures.
Yeah, Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
The figures, of course, being of geniuses.
Yes.
But yeah, Hidden Figures. Did you guys learn nothing from Kevin Costner knocking down the potty sign? Did you learn nothing?
How many people watched it?
It did okay.
Okay.
Well, but it's a shared history. It's a real thing that happened.
I know, yeah. But like nobody watched that movie. Nobody knows things.
I have seen that movie three times.
That's enough for me and you then.
I love it. It makes me cry. Because we are. I'm admitting. I don't know if any of you guys are listening to I Told You So, but, you know, I admit somewhere in my late 40s, I took to weeping, and it is cathartic. It feels good. Sort of.
It can be. Yeah, it can be.
It just, it lets, sometimes it lets the. Good.
Sometimes you're like, ugh. Should stop crying about all this stuff.
I mean, most of the time I'm like, I really wish this didn't happen to make this happen. You know, but sometimes like in movies, like we watched the Fault in Our Stars the other day, you know, and it was playing in the background. I wasn't really paying attention to it. And I came in for the last 15 minutes and I was a fucking mess. Love that movie. Love that book.
Right.
More than anything else. Adidas, which by the way, my new addiction to soccer, I found out that the people at Adidas call it Adidas, and so does every other country in the world. Just
Adidas.
Not Adidas.
Adidas.
Oh,
okay.
It's good Adidas, y'all.
Yeah? Yeah.
So anyway, Adidas banned the number 44 on the German team's football shirt.
I wonder why.
I mean, just look at it. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The kit's resemblance to the infamous SS rune of the Nazi paramilitary wing was completely unintentional, says Adidas. We are very sorry.
Adidas,
we did not.
Adidas just needs to add another block to the side of that four to make it a little more look like a four.
We apparently forgot to check the font.
Yeah.
Yep, but it has banned football fans from customizing the German national shirt with the number 44 due to its perceived resemblance to the symbol. The Schutzstaffel, paramilitary organization of Adolf Hitler's Third Reich, was tasked with carrying out the industrialized genocide of Jewish people and others across Europe. Concerns over the jersey were originally raised by historian Michael Koenig, who said the kit's design was, quote, very questionable. To which everybody gasped and went, oops. But yeah, so if there is a dude on the German team who has the number 44, he doesn't anymore.
He does not.
Nope.
Oops.
Meanwhile, in America, everybody's trying to adopt this as a new, you know.
It goes great with my red hat.
Yep.
The return of Jon Stewart to The Daily Show is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Every Tuesday morning, I flip on Paramount Plus, you know, for the most part, and I watch it. Granted, I watch After Midnight first because it makes me happy. And The Daily Show, no matter how funny Jon Stewart is, always bums me out. But he did an episode here. We talked about it a few weeks ago where he talked about his very good boy. His best dog, three-legged Dipper, who died at the age of 12. Jon Stewart called out the no-kill animal shelter by name. It's Animal Haven. And donations just flew in. Tiffany Lacey, Animal Haven's executive director, told CBS News last Friday that they're at $60,000, and it's still coming in. And that's great. I wish we could do that for every no-kill shelter in America. I really do. But I think when you are faced with what we are faced with, especially as we do when we deep dive the news every week, you know, and it's 99% fucking horrible, it's nice to have a story that kind of pops up and reminds you that not everybody's an asshole, just most everybody. You know? If everybody wasn't an asshole, they would have raised millions. That's my point. Journalists. Look, you little assholes. Let me. You're bad enough that you don't cover fucking topics anymore. What do you cover?
Right.
You cover the money. You talk about the money. You're like, oh, they've got this money and that money. And there's this and that and the other. And you guys talk about shitty polls from a year and a half out. You know, and basically you talk about the horse race and you don't talk about the issues the horses believe in. kind of beat that metaphor up.
I don't know what you mean.
So, well, it's like, you know, Biden had a fundraiser not too long ago that raised 20 some odd million dollars.
Yes.
You know, in a night. And his fundraising's up. They brought in $90 million in March. They've brought in over $190 million since the beginning of the year. Trump just did another rally for billionaires, a little private dinner thing with billionaires down at the Mar-a-Lago, and claims to have raised $50.4 million. So that's a half an hour of the news this morning. You know? There's a poll that comes out that says that Trump is ahead of Biden. So they spend another half an hour talking about the poll. They don't talk about the fact that both of these guys have records as president for 4 years that we can compare and contrast with one another.
Right.
You know, we can talk about issues. We can talk about things that were accomplished. Trump had, I believe, 4 straight years with almost 200 weeks that he kept calling infrastructure week and didn't do anything on infrastructure, you know, other than fire tear gas at protesters so that he could hold a Bible upside down at a church across the street from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the news talks about, is the sensationalism, the numbers, and the money. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about the fact that one of the reasons that the jobs numbers are so high is because of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Right.
You know, they don't talk about the fact that the numbers are so good because of the CHIPS Act. They don't talk about the fact that there's all these new jobs, shovel-ready jobs that are launching out across the United States that Republicans in their districts are taking credit for, even though each and every one of them voted against it. This is not what they're talking about. We're not talking topics. We're not talking issues. We're talking money and polls. That's it. So journalists are on my shit list.
Mm-hmm.
But when Trump, this is a long lead up to this fucking article. I apologize. I don't know how I got on like this. But, you know, you've got Trump out there going, they're an enemy of the state, which I get a knee jerk reaction to. Fuck you. They're important. Even if they're doing their job wrong for the last 40 years since Reagan was in office, they're still very important. There are good reporters left in the world. It's true. And then you find out the journalists have been shoplifting from Air Force One. And it's like, guys, could you not? And then there's that little itty bitty voice way down deep in my head that's like, you know, you'd do it too. You would absolutely do it. So an inventory check on Air Force One after President Biden's last visit to the West Coast in February found a bunch of stuff missing from the press section. Branded pillowcases, glasses, gold rim plates are among the items that have allegedly vanished from the jet. White House Correspondents Association warned that taking items from the plane was forbidden. Last month, the association sent an email to reporters that said such behavior reflected poorly on the press pool, a group of journalists who travel with the president, and must stop. Journalists are sometimes given small packages of M&Ms, decorated with the presidential seal as a souvenir. But taking items with an Air Force One logo, including cutlery and towels, has been commonplace for years, reports claim. White House correspondent from Voice of America, Misha Komodowski, has gathered a subtle collection of items from his trips on the presidential plane. He says, I didn't embarrass anyone or commit any wrongdoing to put this collection together. He just simply, he has a paper cup that he simply forgot to throw away. So, anyway, reporters have been thieving. Mm-hmm. And their boss organization is like, could you just not? Could you stop? Jesus, guys.
Be cool, guys. Come on.
Get your shit together before they make us fly in another airplane.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. As an imaginary president, I would like it. All right. We're up against the break. We're going to take a little one. And then when we get back on the other side, we're going to talk about some Republican behavior over the last couple of weeks.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com. D-E-F-E-N Media.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
I'm recording the video we're doing right now.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I'm not going to do anything with it yet. I'm
just
going to...
super great. This is great for me.
You look great. You look wonderful. You look better than two of us do.
So, yeah, we talked about the bridge.
Okay,
the
good.
The Baltimore Bridge last week, yeah.
Good. Because we're back. We're back with more bridge talk.
Okay.
The bridge is a what was it, the Francis Scott Key Bridge?
Yeah.
Huge, important transportation artery for the people that live in the Baltimore area. Basically,
literally part of the Belt Route. Even though it's a toll bridge, it's literally part of the Belt Route. Yeah.
And with it gone,
that's how everyone goes to work.
Yeah, your commute is now like an hour plus added. With all the traffic and the distance that you have to go to get around from one side to another to get to a different bridge, whatever, you know,
or
it fucks
if
up.
if you're a toll avoider, like I know I would be if I lived in a toll state, it's about the same commute.
Well, no, because now you have all of the toll guys on the road with you, slowing everything down.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're in my way. They've slowed me down. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
this was Big Pharma. Trying to get work with capitalism, trying to get more people, or the left side, trying to get people to work remotely. It's Big Pharma and the left side.
All right.
Just wanting people to get remote work.
So.
Everyone blames Big Pharma for everything.
I will. I'll give it to Big Pharma. They were he was the pilot that was driving the boat.
Hey, if Big Pharma wants to create more remote work, viva Big Pharma for me, because I like my remote work.
Yeah,
I did like my remote work until it ended last week, but I do like my remote work.
Now it's just remote hang.
Now it's just remote. It's remote job search.
Yep. Yep.
Job search for more remote work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway,
the president of these United States, Joseph Rosinette Biden, said to the folks of Maryland, "We're going to fix your bridge. It's what we do. It's who we are." At which point the GOP went, "The fuck you're not."
That's not who we are. We don't do infrastructure.
Yeah. The Freedom Caucus strikes again, but a small but influential group of House Republicans said Friday they would put strings on new federal funding to replace the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. In a statement early Friday, House Freedom Caucus said that before Congress approves new money to replace the bridge, quote, "It's important that we, one, seek maximum liability from the foreign shipping companies up front." You can't. You can't. We talked about it a little bit last week, but...
you can't.
They're using a loophole of an American law that's like 150 years old, and they will be in very little financial jeopardy for knocking off the bridge and killing six people because of dumb laws. Mm-hmm. Number two...
ancient laws that said if you crash into something, it's not your fault.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Number two, the Port of Baltimore draws upon already available federal funds. I actually don't have a problem with that one. It's like, if you guys have some money in there that's not tied to operations, pitch in. But the Port of Baltimore is insanely important to our economy, especially in that part of the country. You know, it is a huge, busy seaport. And the fact that they can't get in and out of it now is kind of a big deal. And I believe most corporations will use it as another fucking flimsy excuse to raise prices on everything. You know, that's where I am.
Mm-hmm.
But the president said, quote, my administration is committed, absolutely committed to ensuring that the parties responsible for this tragedy pay to repair the damage and be held accountable to the fullest extent the law will allow. I fully intend, as the governor knows, to have the federal government cover the cost of rebuilding this entire bridge. All of it. As we've done in other parts of the country in similar circumstances. The estimate is ranging from $400 million to as much as $1 billion, you know. But while that seems like it's a big number, the totals would barely be a rounding error for the federal government, which spent $6.13 trillion last year. It's not that much money, but you want to take health care away from children? To get it to pass? Is that what we're saying, House Freedom Caucus?
That's what they're saying, yeah. That's what they're saying. And this says so much about the Freedom Caucus, is that it's always been, at least in my observation, that whenever something that they can actually see happens or actually see get the results, the politicians in Washington support it 100%. It's why DC, you know, gets a lot of stuff. It's why Maryland gets a lot of stuff, Virginia gets a lot of stuff, because they can see that. They're right there. They literally live there all year round. But this Freedom Caucus is like, no, you don't get to have that. No, it's not yours.
All because
it's the Democrat president who wants it. We're not going to let that happen. If Trump wanted it, we would support it 100%.
Why doesn't a Democrat pretend that they're Republican and, like, you know,
infiltrate?
We've had plenty
of Democrats recently we've had plenty of Republicans impersonate Democrats recently, you know.
Looking at you, Jim Matheson. Yeah. Just taking that back to here. No, I think it's because Democrats are bad at lying.
Mm-hmm.
To wit, you know, look at Menendez. The dude's been taking money from foreign governments and he got caught and everybody's like, you got to quit doing the stuff. And he's like, no, I don't. I didn't do anything wrong. And you're just like, of course you did. Everybody could see that you did. You know, no, I didn't. The gold bars were dropped by a stork. That's the ticket.
That's what happened.
Yeah. You know, we're awful at lying. I think that's why. Because I've had a couple of ideas for things that could see me acting more Republicanish to move forward a lefty thing. And I just have the hardest time finding that voice inside myself. It's difficult. I don't know how to do it. But I would try. So, yeah, anyway, when a public official in a small Oklahoma city faced a censure vote that condemned his recent ties to white nationalism, he was saved, at least temporarily, by a black man. Several residents in Enid, Oklahoma, blasted the city council commissioner, Judd Blevins. Isn't that what Miracle Max says in Princess
Pretty Pro? Much, yeah.
No, he said to Blevin, which we all know means to cheat. anyway, Judd Blevin. It sounds like something Howard Hughes kept hidden in the house. Judd Blevins, yes, at a public meeting last fall for participating in the 2017 Unite the Right rallies in Charlottesville, Virginia, that saw one protester killed and one counter protester killed and dozens injured. They also highlighted offensive comments he's accused of making online under a pseudonym. Apparently, he's not very good at lying either. Others defended Blevins, saying he had a right to free speech and rejected the censure effort as a political ploy fueled by Enid's small progressive enclave. But Derwin Norwood, the only black commissioner on the city council, made an impassioned plea at the end of the meeting, scolding the community for fighting rather than forgiving. Norwood, who sits next to Blevins at the council meetings, then asked him to stand up, told him he loved him, and gave him a hug. Half the room erupted into cheers and applause. The other half sat in silence or clapped politely. Norwood told CNN, "I realized that in forgiving him, I freed myself from becoming what he was or still may be. I had to free myself." That's nice, dude. That's nice. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of other people in the city that are like, "Hey, this asshole is a fucking white supremacist. How about we get rid of him on the city council?"
I mean, he participated in the Unite the Right rallies in Charlottesville. He put on the white, he carried the tiki torch, basically. He put on the tan chinos, the white polo shirt, you know.
But the group, the Enid Social Justice Committee, I am in love with them already, moved forward with its plan to collect enough signatures for a recall petition, eventually forcing a special election this last week. Voters on Tuesday decided to oust Blevins, who has denied being a white nationalist, but has also made confusing statements about his past, in favor of Cheryl Pattinson, a different conservative, in a race that's thrown the city into a deep ideological divide over questions of forgiveness, accountability, and U.S. history. Yeah, he just went to the rally for fun. He's not a white supremacist. It was a lark. I didn't want to be replaced. I didn't know what it meant. Yes, I was yelling in German, but who doesn't from time to time?
Look, a guy handed me a torch and I just held it. That's all. That's really what it was. It was a tiki torch. I thought it was for the mosquitoes. That's what I thought. I was doing a service to everyone, keeping the mosquitoes away.
I held it high to light the way for those around me.
Yes, that's right.
Jesus.
Seems right.
Well, way to go, Enid, Oklahoma, for the recall. You know, I'm sorry you got stuck with another fucking Republican. Let's find out what rally she went to.
I saw a thing on, this is somewhat related and it's local, but the DEI laws that they were passing here in Utah, that the legislature just passed, apparently it's hit the universities in there. And I know that Utah Technical College is like, "We're having to take a close look at our DEI policy." And as they talked about it, I realized what Utah's DEI policy is. It's, what about white people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. DEI is, if you work in any corporation, you go to a DEI training. It's basically targeted at white people to tell them not everybody acts like you, not everybody thinks like you, and certainly not everybody believes like you, and nobody looks like you. Not everybody looks like you. Please treat everyone with respect. That's the whole point of DEI. And they're over here just, you know, "Oh, but we need to not make white people feel so guilty when they go to these." That's kind of the point.
You should feel guilty. I mean,
they don't want people to be racist against, you know, the white male is the most targeted person in America.
So persecuted.
And we're stepping in front of it in Utah. We're getting ahead of it.
Getting ahead of
in this giantly white state. We're getting ahead of what they're trying to take from us.
That's you know, right.
Even if that were true, which it's not, but even if that were true, it would be because white people have all the fucking jobs, and that's why they're the only ones to point at and go, "Fuck up." They're the ones doing the work. They're the ones doing all the dumb racist work. Of course. Of course white people are being picked on. We're fucking everywhere. You can't escape us.
Yeah.
Jesus. I went to the supermarket the other day. You know what? Overrun with white people. So many white people. Ugh. Disgusting. They're everywhere I look. Causing
NIMBY,
problems.
Man. NIMBY. They're in the mirror when I look.
I know. No, it's the worst.
I see this on, like, you know, like the Daily Show throws up the Fox News stuff about DEI, and it's like, you're basically saying we want racism. You're basically saying you want more, you know, rallies like they had in Virginia, tiki torch carrying rallies and stuff in Virginia. It's like, yeah, this is who you're. They're now pandering. So Fox News has always pandered to whatever the conservative movement of the day is. They're now pandering to racism.
Mm. On purpose.
Yeah. On purpose.
You know
too,
what I'm always going to think about? I'm always going to think about January 6th when Fox News was like, Donald Trump, you're a disgrace.
Yeah.
What the
yeah.
fuck are you doing to our country? I'll always think about that.
Mm-hmm. It was nuts. Hey, speaking of a disgrace to our country.
Can we really like, okay.
It's, I got to finish up the 20 minutes of this segment. We'll go
I'm
fast.
Just kidding.
No, I'm with you. I'm sick of talking about it too, but Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene said Friday that the 4.8 magnitude earthquake in the Northeast and the upcoming eclipse are signs from the Lord for Americans to repent.
You first,
you know
Marjorie.
What? Fucking Mike Lee said that Trump was Moroni, and you know what happened? We had an earthquake here, and Moroni fell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just saying.
God was not happy with that one.
God is not happy with this, Margie.
God is sending, I'm quoting now, God is sending strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses are many and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens, she said with her tantric yoga master balls deep in her marriage.
So what did the eclipse in 2017 tell us, Margie? What did the eclipse?
What did it tell us? It's probably bad then too.
Yeah, and we had an eclipse. What, last year?
Yep.
Didn't we have an eclipse come over this state? It's like, you know, eclipses happen. They happen all the time. We just
she's on the wrong side of the TikTok algorithm.
Exactly. We just happen to be in the path of it these last few years. Yeah.
Yeah. Green, a one-time believer in Jewish space lasers, notorious attention seeker. Does she really think the country is headed toward the doom day? Does she? No.
Well,
no.
She's causing it, so she, you know, she clearly believes it. She's trying her best to get us to doomsday.
Yeah. It's going to be funny when the rapture comes and Jesus takes all the fucking liberals with him. You know, he's like, have you read my book? Have you?
No, not just Leviticus. I want you to read the New Testament.
Here's the deal with eclipses, Marge. We've known this one's coming for a long time. You know why?
Long time.
Math.
Yep.
We looked at the thing. We saw the stuff. We went math. I'm summarizing, obviously. You know?
In other words, they've actually been predicting eclipses for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
You know who started doing it? The Catholic Church.
Your mom?
Oh. Yep.
The Catholics were some of the greatest astronomers the world has ever seen. And they were for hundreds of years. Now, granted, yes, they did what they did to Copernicus mm-hmm. and Galileo and all that because they're Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, but in the meantime, as they learned and charted and coursed out the heavenly bodies, there were a couple hundred years there where they were the only ones really doing it, you know, in any organized fashion. I mean, just because you're Christian doesn't mean you have to be a dipshit. But when you add to this the fact that fucking Rudy fucking Giuliani popped up and said the exact same thing, I think before she did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so on Twitter is where she sent this, to which the additional content added, there are approximately 1,700 earthquakes in the U.S. every year, about four a day. Solar eclipses occur approximately every 18 months and are able to be predicted well in advance. The list of future U.S. eclipses and where they are viewed is on Wikipedia. Eric Burnett, MD, says the epicenter was literally at Trump's golf course. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. Yep. Adam Kinzinger says, fun fact, there are about three solar eclipses worldwide per year. and many earthquakes. Both events were predetermined at the creation of the universe. Mm-hmm. The solar eclipse is not a sign. It's just a really cool show if the clouds cooperate. This lady is in Congress? Yeah, you were there with her, Adam. You might recall.
Yep.
Here's one from Sarah Rumpf. Can someone borrow a middle school science project with the planets made out of styrofoam balls and explain to Representative Green how the moon spins around the Earth and the Earth spins around the sun and sometimes they get lined up? It's actually a pretty cool design.
About every 18 months they get lined up. Yeah.
Yep. Frank Luntz, an eclipse is not a natural disaster. That's a good one. Yeah. And then, of course, to sum up and finish off the this third of the show, picture of Trump looking at the eclipse with naked eyes. Says, your guy stares directly at eclipses, so maybe you're the problem here. You know? And then Sunday Divine says, it was the Jewish space lasers being controlled by the gazpacho police targeting the peach tree dishes in the Capitol. All right, let's take a little break. When we get back on the other side, we're going to talk about some election stuff.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Amy Cole, Diane Crittenden, and Ed Piskor.
That one was rough.
In Tinseltown, Kevin Smith is teasing a remaster of Dogma. Olivia Colman feels awful about leaving Heartstopper.
Oh no, I've left a show.
Miller and Majors have been recast.
We're back to those two again.
In comics, Gail Simone is going for 18 issues for her first year on Uncanny X-Men.
18 issues? At one time?
Misty is coming back.
Little clerk's joke for you there.
How much did Action Comics number 1 sell for at a recent auction? We reviewed Deadpool number 1, Avengers number 12, Transformers, and Uncanny Valley. All that and don't miss this week's Patreon.
It was a really good one, you guys. You should listen.
Thanks, French True Believers. It's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube Music, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
I mean, sure, some of those. Who even knows anymore? I don't. And I'm the one who publishes the goddamn thing. I've been spending a lot of time thinking about ways to talk about Biden in a positive light.
Mm-hmm.
And I put out a Substack this week. For those of you that pay attention to it, you might have seen it. It's jmbell.substack.com. It's called the Defenestrate Weekly, where I don't weekly anymore. Just when I have time to sit down and write, I throw out an idea or two. This week was about how much I miss Obama. And I do. And part of the reason
that
I love Obama so much is because Joe Biden was his vice president and because they just got along really well.
Mm-hmm. Most importantly, he was the vice president.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I have a question.
Yeah.
If Obama was currently Biden's vice president and Biden died, could Obama be president because he had 4 years? No?
Nope. It would go, it'd bounce over him and go to the Speaker of the House.
Yep.
It's fucking stupid.
Yep.
It's probably why he's not vice president, because Biden's fucking old.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. I don't mind the old right now.
Yeah, I don't mind the old.
I did. And then he won. And then we've got all the fucking miracles he's pulled out of his back pocket because the guy is shrewd as fuck. I mean, I've told the story on the show 100 times about how, you know, I met Biden And several months later, kind of ran into him, and he remembered who I was. He remembered how many pets I have. He remembered how many kids I have. He remembered what fucking state I was from. Just all these little details that he just remembered from a very quick, less than 2 minute chit chat. I think it was 4 or 5 months before that, you know, didn't remember my name, which is fine, but remembered everything else about what we talked about really quick. You know, that's Joe Biden to me. Mm-hmm. We do have bad behavior in his past, but I do believe that he has overcome the most of that. He's the reason we honestly got a statement from Obama in favor of marriage equality.
Yep.
Because he fucked up and had a gaffe on a microphone. Go ahead.
I think the bro was born during, like, alive and fully alive during segregation. So, I mean, he's learned. That's the progressive part.
Yeah.
Where you could also just be stuck like Mitch McConnell and not learn.
Well, for McConnell, learning, unlearning doesn't, none of that matters. It's about holding on to power. And he will say anything and do anything to hold on to that power.
Well, that's, and he is like a more subtle Robert Byrd.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a problem calling Mitch McConnell out as a a simmering racist. You know, he's not frothy mouthed about it, but the guy, seriously, you see the way that he's behaved throughout his entire career, those Obama years, he was just fucking incensed that there was a black guy in the White House. It's one of the things when we were talking in the last segment about, you know, DEI, and it's basically just white people that are not yet ready to take the step to using the N-word the way that it was used in the 1800s.
Yes.
You know, Phil Lyman running for Utah governor, racist, thick, dumb, Republican racist, absolute wanker racist. You know, he's the guy that took his fucking quad wheeler and just destroyed a Native American burial ground. Why? Because I can go where I want. I'm a white in America. You know, and he got in trouble. And all of a sudden, the federal government is in overreach because you destroyed a fucking sacred burial ground. And just because it wasn't your fucking religion, it doesn't count. Is that right, Phil Lyman? You know, what racist epithets have you used about Native American people? You fucking hump you?
Right.
You know, and he just is. It's just, it is the last domino to fall is when these Republicans just start dropping the N-word, you know, and it's near. It's so near. And they're going to do it, and they're going to get away with it, and it is going to just drive me fucking nuts. Now, with that said, RFK Jr. is also going to be a problem. And one of the reasons RFK Jr. is a problem is because when his campaign started to pick up hangers-on, like Klansmen, like Proud Boys, like QAnon, like the January 6th guys, he didn't do anything about it. He hasn't done anything about it. He hasn't said anything about it. What he's doing now is going to their meetings and their rallies to talk about the fact that vaccinations make him sad. You know, so he's out there embracing the far right, radical, frothy mouthed, racist, misogynistic, you know, pro rape, pro pussy grabbing, pro making fun of special needs reporters, pro all that stuff. That's RFK Jr. It's no wonder his fucking family has been like, we want nothing to do with him. He's sullying our name. You know,
I'm not going to play devil's advocate. I'm just going to tell it's a straight Lindsey Graham, same person, except for now he's, you know, backsliding into like hush hush guy.
Yeah,
he was doing the same thing. So was McConnell. So were all of them.
But this dude's a Kennedy. He's Robert fucking Kennedy's kid. Did he get dropped on his head as a baby? Is this another? Is this another Ted Kennedy accident? What happened to RFK Jr.?
I was going to say something so mean about the Kennedy, him backslide or him dropping on his head.
I'll take it.
They got a lobotomy for the one.
I've seen Grey Gardens. I think there's a level of insanity running through that family that just pops up every now and then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure RFK Jr. has gotten that crazy that his aunts had. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, family's been pretty tight with itself for a lot of years.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like Utah polygamist inbred, but they're pretty fucking close.
They're pretty close.
So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. What?
It's Massachusetts inbreeding. That's what it is.
There you go.
Upper crust blue blood inbreeding. Your blood is blue because it's so thin from all the inbreeding.
can't hold oxygen molecules.
Exactly. It can't hold oxygen molecules.
How come the Kennedys wheeze? You know, you copy that
for air.
Yeah, you copy that tape too many times. That's all. They're just the seventh generation of a movie stolen from the television in the 1980s.
Exactly.
That's what they are.
Oh my God.
You know, it may have been a great movie, but it looks like shit now.
For proof, we give you RFK Jr.'s Super Bowl ad.
Oh my God.
So unhinged.
That made me unhappy.
Yep.
Just that was so his uncle's, weird.
His uncle's presidential ad. I'm like, oh, wow.
Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Friday suggested that the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol wasn't an insurrection. Expressed concern for the, quote, harsh treatment, end quote, of those charged over their participation in the attack, and blamed, quote, both establishment parties, end quote, for capitalizing on the incident on the campaign trail. Well, one party tried to burn the fucking building down, broke in, yeah, killed five people, and shat on the floors. The other party locked the doors and had to hide because the first party was talking about fucking murdering them. Mm-hmm. Except, of course, for Mike Pence, who was also being threatened to be murdered.
And Mitt Romney. But not in the bigger sense of Mike Pence.
Yeah, Mitt Romney's just a bad guy. He's not Paul Potter or anything. He's just a bad guy.
That's the problem with Mitt Romney and people, okay? Like, that's the problem. I love Mitt Romney blowing out candles on a cake because we all should have been doing that. Why are we spitting on shit? But people like can like, oh, fuck yeah, Mitt Romney, you went to impeach Trump. It's like, oh, you did your job. I'm sorry. It just makes me so irrationally mad when then
yep.
People on Facebook, it's like, you're supposed to be voting or doing what's right for the people, Romney, blah, blah. It's like he's not doing it for the people. He's not your personal representative. He is America's representative. He is doing rights for America. People get so mad about that. We voted you in because we wanted this. It's like, that doesn't matter.
Have you ever met Mitt Romney? Folks, I have. Trust me, he's a bad guy. He's not a good guy.
If Mitt Romney is anybody's representative, it's Mitt Romney. Yeah.
I could meet Mitt Romney at a party. This is how I'm going to describe it. I can meet him at a party. Mm-hmm. Then at that party, an hour later, I could meet him again, and he would completely like, oh, who's this lady? What are you doing? I could just meet him again, and he wouldn't even notice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to have back in 2012, I had a good Romney story. I met him during the Salt Lake City Olympics for a moment, and he was
all he had. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it was his 2 points on that were that he didn't take bribes when no bribes are being offered. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody offered him money. He didn't. He wasn't heroic. He just happens to be, you know, a pretty good figurehead for organization and logistics. Of course he is. That guy has to be able to do math from all of the millions that he's stolen from hardworking Americans over the course of his fucking career.
How dare you?
Of course he could do math. He has to count all his fucking money when he swims through his room full of gold coins.
That's extremely good.
Yeah. At that. Yeah. But the other thing was, is that some fucking, we were installing televisions and in the union station. and turned it into a beautiful bar. It looked like Cheers. Oh, it was fucking great. But yeah, he came walking through at some point because the job I was doing was for the IOC, and so he was in that building from time to time. But yeah, and one of the workers tried to introduce himself and tell him how much he really liked Romney. And Romney basically blew him off, turned to his handlers and says, don't let that happen again. You know, I mean, that's just where we are.
What?
But
I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, that is how I know Mitt Romney. He came in the room. Somebody said, I like you. And he went, don't let people talk to me. That's what he is. He's just a rich jerk off. The fact that he voted in favor of the impeachment only means that he read the fucking rule book during orientation when he went to Senate camp.
He only impeached him for one part of that whole thing, though.
Yep.
Like, not all of it.
Nuts. You know?
But also, like, we all should just take a lesson from him when he got the birthday cake made out of Twinkies and not blown them out all over the cake. We all should have stopped spitting on cakes a long time ago.
Yeah, I agree.
That's top.
Yep. So anyway,
fuck Romney.
RFK Jr. is who we were talking about.
That's way different.
I want to hear every side. Actually, what he said was, I want to hear every side. About the well-documented event that occurred more than 3 years ago. I have not examined the evidence in detail, but reasonable people, including Trump opponents, tell me there is little evidence of a true insurrection, he said. They observed that the protesters carried no weapons, had no plans or ability to seize the reins of government, and that Trump himself had urged them to protest peacefully. Which was funny, because I watched that rally, and he did no such thing.
No.
I watched every part of that trial.
Yeah.
And he did no such thing.
So one
he
of the,
sat and said, wait for it. Wait for it, guys. Let's see what's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the worries that we've had going through this election cycle is that the No Labels Party, those ass clowns, were going to field a spoiler candidate and get Trump elected. It was rumored for a while that Joe Manchin was their choice, and he, for some reason, decided not to do it. Kristen Sinema has been hanging out with these guys. So, you know, they're bad if those two fucking idiots are there. But yeah, two prominent Democratic groups, the Progressive Move On and the Centrist Third Way, say they're refocusing on combating the electoral threat of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s independent presidential campaign following news this week that No Labels is abandoning plans to field a third party unity ticket in 2024. Matt Bennett, Third Way's co-founder and senior vice president of public affairs, says the challenges ahead of us are in some ways even tougher. Kennedy cannot be talked out of this race, Bennett said. He's going to have a lot of money. He's not subject to reason. That's a really good line. So we're going to have to make clear that voters understand who this guy is and that he is not his father. This is not a safe place to park a vote if you're dissatisfied with something the president is doing. This guy's dangerous, and voting for him is tantamount to voting for Donald Trump. Move On's executive director, Rana Epting, echoed those remarks from Bennett, saying, you all know Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s math is no different from No Labels' math. He has no path for 270 electoral college votes. His run, like No Labels, is nothing more than a spoiler. And I agree. So everybody's refocusing their efforts to make sure that we take a shit on RFK Jr. In the meantime, the Biden campaign is doing its best to keep the pressure on the Trump campaign, who is making several strategic mistakes along the way. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do about RFK Jr.?
Encourage Trump voters to vote for him instead.
I mean, that's really it.
Yeah.
You know, he's agreeing with you guys on January 6th. He's agreeing with you guys on vaccinations. He's agreeing with you on all this lunatic, you know, right-wing Pizzagate bullshit.
Yeah.
He's your guy if Trump's too much for you.
I have something to say.
All right. All right, hang on.
And this could be recorded visually. I am so fucking sick of the Democratic kids, like the Gen Z. And you know what? Let's just call it out. It's Gen Z. I'm not going to vote for Biden because, like, hey, New York, we don't have to vote. We can just, like, leave that part blank. You little motherfuckers are, like, putting your vote toward anybody. Anybody, basically. I'm not going to vote for Biden because he did this or because he did this. It's like, oh, and so you're just going to omit your own vote? Like, what the fuck do you think you're going to, like, who do you think is going to take that vote? Who the fuck do you think is going to, like, stand up, like, get that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've seen so many little bitches on TikTok and on Instagram, on Twitter. Just, we don't have to vote for these people. Yes, you do. You absolutely have to vote for someone. And by taking your vote out away from Biden, you're not voting for him, which means it could end up one of these two fucking bozos.
Based on the number of people who vote, who were eligible to vote in the 2016 election, who really won the popular vote of 2016?
Hillary Clinton.
It was none of the above. Based on the number of people, the eligible voters, the people who did not vote, was so high, it actually outnumbered the people who voted for Hillary or the people who voted for Trump. It was actually people who just chose not to vote because they didn't like either candidate. And who walked away with the election because of it? Donald Trump. You're going to get the same thing this time around. If you're one of these people who wants to sit out the vote because you don't like the Biden supported Israel, or you don't like this, you don't like that about Biden, and you're going to sit out the election, you're handing the election to Trump because he did it in 2016. There's no reason why he can't do it again in 2024.
Well, and if you want American boots on the ground causing atrocities in Gaza, Trump's the quickest way to get that.
Oh, he would have done it in a heartbeat. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, didn't Biden just come over the weekend saying, like, Israel, you need to pull out?
Yeah.
Well, he has been. Here's the deal. Let me tread into Gaza for a second, just a bit. And it all comes down to international relations. Everybody that I hear, like Hassan Minhaj and a bunch of these other fucking pundits, you know, just going on and on and on about, hey, Biden needs to use his bully pulpit so that he could tell Jerusalem what to do. No, he can't. Bibi Netanyahu fucking hates Joe Biden's guts, has for decades, because he's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. Bibi Netanyahu put together the most insane fucking government as a way to maintain power, to keep himself from going to jail because of crimes he committed that they can't prosecute because he's in office.
Yeah.
Bibi Netanyahu is turd on a stick. He's a bad dude, you know? And anybody that says, well, Biden can tell him what to do, guess what? Biden can't stop sending him fucking money and can't stop sending him fucking weapons because guess what? That's Congress's fucking job.
Mm-hmm. Biden can't tell any other country what to do.
It's a sovereign nation, for Christ's sake.
Like, yeah. You can't tell any other fucking country what to do. Otherwise, be like, hey, Putin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, buddy. Just leave Ukraine. You can't fucking tell another country what to do because they're going to do it anyway.
Oh, yes,
they're
my bad.
They're dead set on what they're doing.
I blame Moose and Squirrel.
I blame Dick Cheney.
Okay. I blame Reagan.
I always blame Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, the example used was that in the 80s, you know, Reagan pulled a hard line with Israel on something they were doing, and Israel backed off. Mm-hmm. They were pretty dependent on us back in the 80s. They are not now.
80s.
Yeah, no. They're not now.
Whenever old BB comes out here to speak, who's he invited by? Republicans.
Yep.
He loves the Republicans because they kiss his ass, because they're like, we like a strong man. So they,
you know,
kiss
what?
His ass. Yeah.
In the 80s, Reagan didn't want walls, but here we are. Mm-hmm. Check your words, guys.
Yep.
Anyway, yep. It's always fucking Reagan.
It's always fucking Reagan. Anyway, Biden announced raising more than $90 million in March with $192 million in the bank. I accidentally blew the lead on this one about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, his campaign released figures on the same day Donald Trump will likely collect close to $50 million at a Palm Beach high dollar fundraiser, in which Trump stood up thinking he was off camera and told rich people, don't worry about it. We'll give you enough tax breaks to get you out of debt. Now, I think he was talking to himself there. Yeah, I think he was self-internalized. I think he was internalizing that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But they do. But that's big money. And here is a big article on the money to prove my earlier point. It just goes on and on and on about the fucking money. Money, 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 money. Guess what?
Money, money, money.
I want to know what these guys are planning to do for the next 4 years. I don't give a shit how much money they fucking raise. It's not, that's minutia.
That means nothing to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, I wish I had some.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
I'm not going to donate to you guys, though, you fucking bozos. Not you guys, but like, they have enough money. They don't need mine.
So Trump then went on at one of his rallies to say that he's pretty sure that Joe Biden did as well as he did at the State of the Union because he's high on cocaine.
Hot meat kettle.
It's the only way I am ever on is when I've been snorting Adderall all day. So he has to be on cocaine.
In this house, we do fentanyl.
Yeah, let's see. By the end, he was fading fast. There's something going on there. I want a debate. I think a debate with him, at least, should be drug tested. I want a drug test. I don't know what he's using, but that was not. Hey, he was higher than a kite. And by the way, it was the worst address I've ever seen, the State of the Nation. I'll tell you, State of the Union. That's not State of the Union because he doesn't represent us properly. That I can tell you, but he's obviously, he's so hard to read out loud. He's being helped in some way because most of the time he looks like he's falling asleep. All of a sudden he walked up there and did a poor job, but he was all jacked up.
I mean, it was like 9 o'clock at night. I'm tired too. Yeah. I'd do a little something if I needed it.
Yep. And then finally, to close the show, folks, I've got some fun news. Multiple witnesses saw a server tell Lauren Boebert they would not bring her any more alcoholic beverages, that she had been overserved. And then it turns out that she was so drunk and kept trying to get pictures with Trump that his security team told her to knock it the fuck off.
That's so embarrassing.
Yep. 3 months after Representative Lauren Boebert apologized for disruptive She didn't apologize. She blamed Democrats.
Yeah.
Anyway,
blamed the Democrats she was with.
Yeah. The Colorado Republican attended a glitzy Republican gala headlined by former President Donald Trump in Manhattan.
Doesn't sound glitzy.
Yep. At the December soiree. Yeah. Which was a New York Young Republicans Club annual gala. Multiple witnesses saw a server tell Boebert they wouldn't bring her any more alcohol. One witness telling CNN the server told the congresswoman they believed she'd been overserved. Throughout the night, Boebert kept attempting to snap selfies with Trump, who was sitting at the same table as her. Eventually, Trump's security detail stepped in and asked Boebert to stop, according to witnesses who attended the event and saw the interaction take place. Trump, however, still gave Boebert his full and total endorsement last month, which will do her absolutely no good whatsoever because she moved into that new area and they hate her more there than they do anywhere else.
Hate her so much, and it's beautiful.
It really is. You know, but
and
hey,
now she's mad about it.
I'll give you one thing about Lauren Boebert.
What? She's got nice titties?
No, my God, no. What?
No.
What?
I don't know. I didn't look at him.
Oh, I've never thought of. Oh, I don't want to. I don't want to think about her like that. That's ick. No. You know, she's not out there saying that God causes earthquakes and eclipses.
That's true.
Were Jewish space lasers?
No, I think she was on the Jewish space laser train.
No. Okay. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like,
me either.
Of course.
Me either. All right, gang, that is it for the end of the show. I'd like to invite you all to theleftshow.com to join us in our fundraiser as we work our way towards getting an office. At the very least here in the next couple of months, we're going to start putting all this stuff on YouTube. We're growing. We're evolving. It's taking a little more time than I like, but we're still asking for your help. So go to theleftshow.com, click on the fundraiser there, and help us fund. If that's too much of a commitment for you, and I can totally understand that, maybe try out something smaller. Maybe join us over on Patreon, where with that one, if you give, you get. Because every week that we record, we put fresh content over on Patreon. This is content nobody else has a chance to hear because it is behind the paywall. So patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. That's where we are every week that we record. So
it's where all the juicy stuff happens.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some stuff. So anyway, gang, anybody got anything else on our way out?
No.
If you do subscribe and like get us that office, you get to see my ridiculous rants.
You do some good
like
rants.
Live. Yeah. I get really worked up.
Yeah, you do. It's fun. It's fun. And may I say, pretty.
Yes. Okay.
I got you. Got you good. All right. Thanks, everybody.
I should have did this when we were doing the video.
Oh, there you go. You guys so both have your hoodies up.
Yeah.
I look gross today.
No, you look great.
I didn't want to take a shower.
That's fine.
It's a lot of work.
All right, gang. Let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.